Heyo! Welcome in! Latest episode of that SEC podcast. I'm your host, Boomer Bike. And there's everybody's favorite cousin, Cousin Suter Shade. What's up, buddy?
Hey, buddy, what's going on?
Oh, I'll tell you what's going on. We are, man, I've been meaning to bring the countdown, but I think it's like 74, 73 days away from college football.
Hell yeah. Sorry, I apologize. Technical issue. I had YouTube on the other one. I was like, why am I hearing everything back? So how many days? 73?
Something like that.
God, we're getting through the linemen, aren't we? After we get past these fatties, then we can get to some running backs and then some quarterbacks. And then, baby, we got college football right around the corner, man. Hey, I'm looking forward to it. Looking forward to it, brother. Every time I get online, I'm actually starting to get some little nuggets of actual football news. So I'm excited about that. We got media days right around the corner. I think it's, 20-something days away. So 3 weeks, we'll be down in Tampa talking to the coaches and the players and the media, kind of kicking off this college football. But you know what really gets me going, other than these wonderful fall camp previews, Mike? Every morning, a little Tennessee legend distilled right before I hit the road. I like to get a shot of this and get my day started. And that's right. If you are in the Smoky Mountains, I think everybody's up here right now, Mike. And if you're one of those cousins, be sure to swing in and let them know that Cousin Shane and Cousin Mike sent you. Not only are you going to get a discount, but you will also get a bonus gift. And it's just a fun place, man. It's a fun, fun place to do some sipping. And they got all kinds of weird ones. I will say that. I say that loosely because you may think it's weird, but then all of a sudden you buy you a bottle of it. But then they've got some classics like you just showed there with the King Snake. So, again, be sure to let them know the cousin sent you, and you will pay these prices and pay no more.
Well, you're talking about the flavors, right? Because they have a really good coffee. Mm-hmm. If you want to Irish up your coffee, uh-huh. I highly recommend that. I mean, you can get that. That's dangerous for me, but you could do that. I like the caramel. I mean, they got so many good ones. I think they're breaking out vanilla, they said.
They said vanilla is the top one right now. Like, it's taking the world by storm, you know? And it pairs well with a lot of stuff, Mike. That's the thing, you know? You're looking for a nice little drink to go with your diet, Dr. Pepper, trying to cut some LBs. Well, you could do it with this one right here.
All right, well... I never thought I'd hear that, but there we go. Shane, diet drinking advice. I do appreciate it.
You know how you lose weight? You drink Tennessee Legend.
These statements are not been verified by the FDA. Oh, all right. Well, you know what has been verified by the FDA?
What's that, brother?
Sooners being in the college football playoff. Can they get there again? Stay tuned. We'll tell you. But let's do a quick recap, Shane. Last year was an epic, epic year for the Sooners. They beat. Now, again, I wrote this down. I think people are going to make fun of this, Shane. Beat Michigan, beat Auburn, and you're like, those teams weren't any good. But if you actually remember, I mean, if you live this stuff, like I know a lot of these cousins do, these were nationally televised.
Yep.
And we were sitting here saying, hell, if they lose Michigan, I think Venables is getting fired. You know, if they lose, I mean, Auburn, they had like $30 million in their roster. We said, buddy, if they lose Auburn, he's getting fired. You know what I mean? Like, it was like backs against the wall, yet they were getting these wins. The Texas loss was humiliating, no doubt. But again, that was John Mateer. He got hurt, and he kind of got rushed back, and clearly he was not the same. They bounced back with a win, but then it was a tough, tough loss, Shane, Ole Miss. And again, I don't know how many Sooner fans will be honest, but they were like, we got to move on from Venables. He can't get it done. We got at Tennessee. We got at Alabama. They're red hot. Missouri and LSU, those are solid teams too. There's no way, Shane, no way we're beating all these teams, yet that's exactly what they did. They played some team football, elite on defense. He lead on special teams, and the offense made enough plays, and they got their ass to the college football playoff. Now, of course, it didn't go as they wanted, but I think it was a hell of a step in the right direction for old Brent Venables and the belief in what he can get done there in Norman.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of funny because we counted Sooners out multiple times last year, right? Like, yeah. I just don't know. You know, I feel like this could be the 2024 season again. I want to believe in John Mateer, but I didn't see it in this game, or I didn't see it in that one. And then it was just a team, like I joked about last year, that would not die, right? This is a team that just as soon as you count them out, they come back and they punch you in the mouth. And that's just what Venables is doing. That's the culture that they've created over there. And that's why they're going to be a force to be reckoned with moving forward in this conference, Mike.
Absolutely. Now, speaking of Brent Venables, though.
Yeah.
Now, here, again, he turned it around, right? We made all the way to the playoff. But again, playoff is to be celebrated, but that ain't good enough in Oklahoma. You got to win more consistently. You got to go deeper in the playoff. And you know, I'm sure Sooners are well aware, but the rest of the country, I don't know if they are. 6 wins, 10 wins. So again, does that mean they're going to win 6 games? I'm certainly not saying that, but we got to be careful because we have bought into the hype before and we've been burnt by it.
Yeah.
That is something that is kind of a mark against him. Also a slight mark there, Shane. He's not won in the postseason. 0 postseason wins, which, you know, postseason means less now more than ever.
Right.
But I do think that says something about, you know, preparing a team and, you know, usually you're facing a quality opponent. I don't know. There's a lot that goes into it. So I'm saying all this not to shit on old Venables here, Shane.
Yeah.
But I'm warming up to him as a good coach. I still have questions if he's an elite coach.
Yeah.
Where are you at with that?
That's fair. He's like the opposite of Shane Beamer, isn't he? Like, oh shit, we're coming into an even year. Yeah. I mean, I feel like as far as just an Oklahoma football coach, you know, you've seen the highs and the lows, right? And here in the last 4 seasons. So you got to ask yourself, is this a team that's going to seesaw back, or is this a team that's going to move forward in this new trajectory? And I will say, I feel like there's some asterisks by some of those seasons, and I'm not trying to make excuses for them, but there definitely was, you know, some squandered opportunities. There were some injuries. There was all kinds of, I mean, you name it. It seems like it hit them. And so I do feel like this is the season, though, where we sit back and we say, did we mess up by giving him more money, or do we double down and make him the highest paid guy? You know, it's like, it feels like we're kind of in a fork in the road, and this is an opportunity for Venables to kind of cement that he's not only a good coach, but like you said, maybe an elite one.
Hey, shout out to Frey Daddy here. Great question. Remember for 11 months. We appreciate you, buddy.
Hey, thanks, brother.
And he's a hog, so it's been a rough 11 months. But, hey, we're getting better there in Vietnam. if you had to pick one, Kirby Smart, Brent Venables, as defensive coordinator, not head coach. Now, questioning Venables, the head coach. I don't think there's any questioning Venables, the defensive coordinator.
Yeah.
I think Kirby's the best head coach in the country. Mm-hmm. I think Venables is a better defensive coordinator.
Give me Venables. Yeah. Now, I think I would have, this would have been a better argument a few years ago, but here lately, I'm on the Venables train here as far as defense.
I figured you were, Shane. Yeah. Well, speaking of coordinate, now, again, there's no doubt Venables, right?
Yeah.
There is some doubt with Ben Arbuckle. So these are his numbers here. Our offensive coordinator, year 2. There's no DoorDash record. Remember, he was doing DoorDash before this. But again, I really have just really highlighted the last 3 seasons, Shane. He's because that's kind of the ones that really matter to me. Washington State, Ben Arbuckle was the offensive coordinator before coming to Oklahoma. And here's where I'm really trying to pinpoint. And again, there's a lot of red here. Some of that is not on him. Some of that's defense. Some of that's strength of schedule. I mean, that's got nothing to do with the offensive coordinator, right?
Right.
But what does 23, Washington State had the number 41 strength of schedule. They finished 41 in offensive success rate. So, again, not a big takeaway there, but his second year, Washington State, this was, you know, they left the Pac-12, or the Pac-12 left them. I don't know how you want to say that, but they had the 111th strength of schedule in the country, and his offensive success rate was 13th. So point being, he faced dog shit schedule. Mm-hmm. He delivered huge results. Last year, complete flip-flop. At Oklahoma, number 3 strength of schedule. Offensive success rate, 95. Mm-hmm. So I think it's fair to question, you know, is he a product of his schedule? And I'm not saying he is or he isn't, but I think we're going to find out this year.
Yeah, this one I'm torn on. You know, there was moments I really thought he was, say what you want. That Auburn game really stands out to my mind. You know, some of the the trickeration, if you will, that went down. But I don't know. It just felt like at times Arbuckle was a little over his head, and but I do. I feel like that settles down in year two. You know what I'm saying? Because you see that with a lot of coordinators, especially coming to this conference. I mean, to go from 111 strength of schedule to 3, I mean, you're going to have to grow up real quick, and there was going to be some growing pains, and I think we saw that. But, you know, I do think that, especially with, you know, Jim Nagy and all these guys that are around him, they're going to put the players that he needs around him, and I feel like he's going to be better off for it.
Mm-hmm. Now let's take a look at the overall recent program history. I didn't know how far back to go with Oklahoma, right? Because they had coaching transition. They're in another league, but I just went back to 21. Cause again, I've been doing that for a lot of teams. This is post COVID. So now we got NIL, we got the transfer portal, and a couple things stood out to me here, Shane. Talent.
Oh yeah.
Talent. How about that? So in 2022, number 9, 23, number 9, number 8 and 24, but number 14 last year. So a little interesting, trending in the not exactly the ideal position. Now you come in here and hire Jim Nagy. I think this is critical here because the first recruiting class was 15th in the country. That's the one they just signed.
Yeah.
But the one they're building right now is number 4 in the country. So I say all that to say, I think I think it was clear as day. They needed a GM.
Yeah.
And they got literally the best one, I think. And that's trending in the right direction. So we're seeing evidence of that already. And then kind of the biggest improvement. And again, this is kind of Captain Obvious, but it's good to see it in numbers. I think defensive success rate, 91 in the country in 22. 32 in the country in 23. These are all the Venables years. And then number 5, and then last year, number 4. So we've gone from 91 in the country to defensive success rate to number 4. I mean, again, that just shows the mastery of the defensive side of the football that Brent Venables has. Now, offense.
I'm sorry. Huh? They may have it figured out now, Mike.
But where they don't is offense.
Yeah.
Where they have gone loop-de-loop here under Venables. That first year, 23rd in the country in offensive success rate, 23, number 7, which, I mean, you were like, okay, this is the Sooners we know and love. And then the last 2 years, 111th and 95th. So they made the college football playoff, Shane, with the number 95 offensive success rate in the country. Imagine if they just had the number 50 offense in the country. I think they might have won the national championship.
Mike, and it's so frustrating. I get it. If anybody gets it, it's a Tennessee fan. 22, Hendon Hooker year. No, not with Hendon Hooker. But you know what I'm saying? It's like the defense was elite. There was just no offense. But somehow we still scrapped and fought our way to a victory. And it was tough, man. And that's – you got to have help on that side. That was obviously some improvement. And, again, I hate to say the asterisk, but your quarterback, you know, missing several games. And I never thought he was back to 100%, you know, till the end of the season. So, if you had something, if you had some life over there, there's no doubt in my mind this team would have won a national title.
So again, that may be the missing piece, Shane. And here's, I say all that to set this up. Who's got more returning production in the SEC than anybody on the offensive side of the football? Is them Oklahoma Sooners, Shane, 71% of last year's offense returns number one in the conference. How is this calculated? Passing yards, rushing yards, receiving yards, and offensive line snaps. So pretty damn good, Shane. 94% of the passing yards is back thanks to John Mateer, Money Mateer over there. Rushing yards, 89%. That is second most in the conference. Top three rushers from last year are all back. Torrey Blaylock, John Mateer, Xavier Robinson. Now, receiving, we've got a little bit of ways to go here. 43%, that is eighth in the conference. But again, we've seen a lot worse during these previews because Isaiah Satania, he's all SEC caliber, and he's back. And then offensive line, this could be critical, Shane. 59% of the snaps are back from last year. That is number three in the Southeastern Conference. We return five offensive linemen, Shane, that had at least 398 snaps. And two of them had over 650 snaps. So very, very experienced on that offensive line, which was young last year, has got a lot of talent.
Yeah, and improvement, man. This is I would say probably the most improvement, especially if you're looking the year prior. So definitely expecting another big jump from these big uglies. Oh,
yeah. Now, how about the defense, Shane? Where we make our money in Norman now. 61% back, third most in the SEC. That should scare the shit out of all of y'all with this Brent Venables defense. Third most production. Tackles for loss, sacks, passes defended, and interceptions is how we calculate this. And, man, we got some monsters returning, Shane. 59% of the tackles, number three in the SEC. Six of our top nine tacklers from last season are back. Tackles for loss and sacks, 56%. That is number four in the Southeastern Conference, including three players, Shane, that had double-digit tackles for loss. It's like the damn steel curtain over here. Passes defended and interceptions, 69. Nice. Third most in the Southeastern Conference, including our top five pass defended players are all back from last season. So, buddy, I mean, I've been hearing some Oklahoma fans. They think this defense could be even better than last year. And if that's true, I mean, this is kind of the evidence for that.
Oh, man, I remember. I'm just thinking of media days. Just Cole, how excited he was about this defense. And I can't wait to see him walk into this time. You know what I'm saying? them Sooner media personalities, they're going to have some swagger when they walk through there, mainly because of this returning production, man. I mean, this the rich get richer, Mike. I thought they all graduated. I thought Heineke was going, what happened?
Well, speaking of getting a little bit richer, Shane, the transfer portal. Oh, On3, what's wrong with you today? This is the 23rd, according to On3, 23rd ranked transfer class in the country, 24/7 sports, though. It's got this as the 17th portal class with 16 transferring in, 27 transferring out. Just making room, Shane. Just making room. Come on. And they have totally retooled the weapons around John Mateer. So if I'm a John Mateer doubter, I mean, this is reason in my opinion, to start believe, because they've got Trell Harris from Virginia. He was all conference there in the ACC. Parker Livingston, remember that, Shane? Texas had to make room to get Cam Coleman. Well, now he's in Norman, Oklahoma. Emarion Harris, a starter from Arkansas's offensive line, we're bringing him in. Mm-hmm. Hayden Hansen, tight end from Florida, he was a starter, bringing him in. Rocky Beer, Shane's favorite tight end in the country. Just, you know, depth and talent all over this this transfer. It's not a big transfer class.
Right.
But Cole Sullivan, a linebacker, he's another one to watch. I think this is a very solid, and really what they did is they identified holes on the roster and filled them, and not with just like one or two guys, but with multiple. So again, we don't like to talk about swings and misses in the portal, but even if you have one or two, yeah, you added several more at the position to kind of make up for that.
Oh, yeah. No, I feel like this was just fixing needs, right? It wasn't like you were trying to build depth. It wasn't. I feel like this was very meticulous, especially when you look at those first two guys. Trell Harris, I think he was all ACC last year. You know, these are guys that are going to immediately make an impact and make John Mateer's life a lot easier. So I do like the ads. I just think that, like I said, they were very specific. And, you know, Jim Nagy knows what he's doing, brother.
Mm-hmm.
Rocky Beers. Yeah. What a name.
I mean, it just makes all the sense in the world, doesn't it, Shane, when we have – I mean, there's just so many things involved with college football. Let the coaches coach.
Yes.
Let general managers manage a roster. Like,
it makes
sense. I don't know why that's so hard for, hell, Kirby Smart doesn't have one.
No.
Josh Heupel doesn't have one. I don't know what the hell. And again, I'm not calling out their football knowledge because we're talking elite of elite. But sometimes I think these guys think they know everything.
Yeah.
And I think I could come back to haunt you. You know what?
I feel like that's the thing. It's you want your coach to be a CEO, right? And so many times we get enamored by a specific person because they're really good with offense, or they're really good with defense or something like that. You know, I think it takes a bigger man to say, you know what I'm not good at is picking talent. I'm good at developing it. I'm good at making sure that it's out there if I'm on defense or I'm on offense. But yeah, I feel like this is something that has been going on a long time. They didn't call them GMs. They just called them really good assistant coaches, you know? But I feel like now we're starting to see this evolution of college football, and teams that accept that are the ones that are having the success right now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I mean, it even goes further, Shane, where like, if you got an issue with your contract or whatever,
mm-hmm.
don't come to me.
Yeah,
I'm the coach. You know, go talk to the GM. You know, they're not allowed to have incentives, but we all know if you deliver, you're going to get paid more. You know what I mean? So
yeah,
again, you take it just makes all the sense in the world to take that out of the coach's hands for so many reasons.
It's like good parent, bad parent. You know, it's like, oh, sorry, he's the one that gave you permission. You go talk to him.
Now it's been great, right? We love Oklahoma in the SEC.
Yeah,
I think they love being in the SEC.
Mm-hmm.
But here's probably the one area they wish. Maybe they don't. They had the number 15 recruiting class in the country. You're like 15. That's we can win with 15. Seventh in the SEC. So again, we were more focused on retaining than we were building because we're already there. But they did get some high level four stars, a lot of four stars. But these are the guys that are ranked in the top 100 players. Shane, number 6 running back Jonathan Hatton, mm-hmm. might need him because we're a little thin at running back after the first couple guys. Number 7 quarterback Bo Bentley. I love that name. And then the number 9 edge defender Jake Cruel. Man, would that's an awesome name for a pass rusher. You know, just be cruel to them quarterbacks.
It's coming, right? I'm sure there's an NIL deal waiting for him.
All right, so let's break it into the depth charts, Shane. Offensive. Depth, and look at that, man. A lot of transfers
mm-hmm.
littered across this thing on the first team, second team. So, again, they're plugging holes here. This was the unit that was just god awful by the end of the year. So, I don't mind it if this is us trying to fix this, right?
But
my problem with Oklahoma, again, particularly on offense, I'm not seeing major holes. But I'm not seeing major, you know, I'm not seeing anywhere where we're exceptionally strong,
yeah.
if that makes sense. But again, I'm not seeing a lot of weaknesses either. So I'm really splitting hairs here when it comes to ranking the position groups. But I'm going to go quarterback first because I know Shane, I'm looking at these comments. There's a lot of people out on Mateer.
Yeah.
Among the coaches and things like that, you can't get anybody to say something bad about John Mateer. Like, everybody believes in this guy.
Yeah.
I think he is prime time player. We saw that last year. Injury happened. I know he was largely ineffective at the end of the season. But, again, I think he was forcing the issue. He literally led the team in rushing attempts. You just can't have a quarterback that missed games. that's not built to be a dual threat. Lead you in rushing, or at least rushing attempts. Yet I believe that's the statistic there. So we got to get him help. We got to get him some better receivers. I think we've gone out that they had no tight ends of any consequence last year. So I think this year they put it together. Year two of the offense. Year two in the SEC for John Mateer. So I'm going out on a limb here a little bit, Shane, but I'm going to say quarterbacks, thanks to John Mateer, is our best position group on offense.
I can't disagree with you there, Mike. In fact, we always do this, right? We bring a guy in, and then we start looking back a couple of years ago and say, who else could we have gotten, right? You know, yeah. I mean, if John Mateer wasn't the guy, who else could have been our quarterback? And I truly feel that if Oklahoma could go back, they would still pick John Mateer. I mean, short of the injury last year, the guy had a phenomenal season. He was literally the only offense. So, I'm anticipating with how aggressive they were about, like you said, getting three tight ends and getting wide receivers around and making his life a little bit easier. I think that's going to make John Mateer look like a better quarterback coming up this fall.
Mm-hmm. All right, so second position group, Shane, I'm going to go offensive line. How about that? When's the last time we could say suitors were solid on the offensive line? I think it's this season with Michael Fasusi back at left tackle. He was a five-star. He lived up to it. Now he's kind of entrenched after 10 starts last year. Mm-hmm. We bring him back, our starting center. Love that. Anytime we could get that. And then we had multiple in Ryan and Heath have started multiple games. So I don't know which one's going to start. Hell, they may both start. And Eddie Pierre-Louis has also started. So, I mean, we're bringing back multiple linemen that have started games. The transfer in Marion Harris from Arkansas, he's a stud. I think he's going to be a starting right tackle for us. We're bringing in guys from Western Kentucky, Eastern Kentucky, and Georgia Tech that have all played a lot of football. So I really like this group. And I think they finally figured out the offensive lineman in Norman here in the SEC.
Yeah, I think so too, man. And it's just it's a group that you see when you don't have. I mean, if anybody knows, it's Oklahoma, right? When you don't have an offensive line, life gets miserable quick. So I feel like we got a deeper group of guys here, and you know they're not going to. I don't think it's riddled with NFL talent. There's no, you know, right now Hall of Famer is going to be on here, but as a unit, bringing back all those starts, I think that's where you're going to notice the biggest difference. It's just the continuity these guys already have.
Mm-hmm. All right. And then again, I'm splitting hairs here, but I'm going to go running backs next.
Mm-hmm.
Xavier Robinson and Torrey Blaylock. They each had their moments. I don't really know what we got behind them. Again, we're bringing in the number six running back commit in the country, Jonathan Hatton. So I think he could be solid, but you need running backs in this 9-game SEC. So do we have more than three? I mean, that's kind of one of the biggest issues that we have entering fall camp. But I like the first two.
Yeah.
You just really got to have depth, particularly if you're trying to make the college football, not just make it, but advance and win a national championship. You're going to have some depth at running back.
Yeah, and this is a stat that you just threw out. I think you said 89% of the running backs are going to be back here, and that does include John Mateer. And what you can't have, right, Mike, is, you know, your quarterback competing with you as far as most yards for the season, right? This is a department that really I feel like needs to take that big step forward to truly make this offensive, you know, front go, man.
Mm-hmm. All right, so last I got receivers and tight ends, and I think they're pretty solid too, Shane. So Isaiah Satania, we love him.
Yeah.
We've got the transfers, Trail Harris, Parker Livingston, all the tight ends, transfers, Hayden Hansen, Rocky Beers, Jack Van Dorslayer scored, I think, four touchdowns in the Tennessee spring game, Shane. I mean, he could be a future star himself. They also added Mackenzie Allen, I think is how you say it. He was at Washington State, I believe, with John Mateer. So he's bringing back a guy he's got some familiarity with there. Jermichael Carter's back, Elijah Thomas. So we got some players. Mm-hmm. I'm not seeing many holes in this offense this year.
No, I do love Satania. I know Arkansas fans don't, but this guy is absolutely lightning in a bottle. He is the ultimate X factor on this football. And what I like too is the addition of Harrison Livingston. I just feel like having some other weapons around him will make Satania's life a lot easier. So, yeah, probably not the strongest group in the country, but definitely one of the funner ones to watch.
Now, who could be the strongest, Shane?
Yeah.
The defense. Oh, I don't see the transfers all over this one because we don't need them, Shane, because we built us a damn wall in here in Norman. So shout out a lot of returning starters. And hell, even like if you look at the meat of that defense, you're like, well, man, not returning a lot of starters on that defensive front. Well, just guys that have played 12 games, 13 games, 13 games, 13 games. I mean, they played in every damn game last year. You know what I mean? Right. So, yeah, maybe not technically starters, but guys that have gone to war with you and won you a bunch of games. So I'm not seeing any holes in this defense. That's for damn sure. But I'm going to go defensive backs as the best unit with Courtland Guillory back, Eli and Peyton Bowen, Reggie Powers is back. I mean, this is a really, really good group of defensive backs. We had Steven on the other day. He said it's the number three defensive back group in the Southeastern Conference. And boy, are they pissed, Shane. Like, 3 ain't good enough for us. But again, maybe even better than that. But there's a lot of good defensive back groups in the Southeastern Conference. And I mean, Oklahoma belongs up there with all of them.
This is like blankets, man. This defense, this is the most returning. I mean, you think about it. I would argue say this is the most talented defense that Venables has had since he's been in Oklahoma. And look what he's done with less, quote unquote. You know, I feel like this is absolutely loaded. It's deep. And that secondary is, brother, I mean, you got to get past everybody else up front, you know? And then when you do, it's just these animals ready to eat you.
Right. So next, I got to go defensive line. Again, Steven said he thinks this is the best. I believe he said the best defensive line in the conference. Taylor Wine, I think he was the best defensive player they had last year. We did our award show. I gave him SEC Defensive Player of the Year. I don't think he got recognized enough for what he did. He's back as a starter. David Stone, he might be the best interior defensive lineman, not in the SEC, Shane, the country. Jaden Jackson, he literally day one starter. He's played in so many wars. Danny Okoye, he was an elite recruit. He kind of made a mistake, though, Shane. He was going to go to Tennessee or Oklahoma. So, we'll give it a pass on this one. But, again, elite talent there. And they brought in a couple transfers for depth after losing some guys to the NFL. I think this is a hell of a defensive line.
Yeah, David Stone, former five-star. This is a guy this is the one I keep hearing a lot about, man. This guy is about to turn over new. I mean, this big boy, I mean, they gave him the number zero. You know, he's just ready to have a breakout season. But this defensive front is absolutely mean, dog.
And then to say linebackers are last, Shane, I mean, they just got it all American.
Yeah.
And then Owen Heineke and Kip Lewis, of course, you know, he's outstanding, maybe the best linebacker in the conference. And then Owen Heineke emerged last year, started the last couple games, and he was like a critical play. I mean, he's the reason they beat out. You know, you don't want to just put it on one player, but he was blocking kicks, making plays. I mean, I put it on him, you know, a big reason why they beat Alabama in that big upset at the time in the regular season. So, yeah, just elite all across the board. And then, I mean, I should make this guy's own damn graphic, Shane, but old short shorts.
Yeah.
All-American Tate Sandale, oh, he's back.
Oh, he's back? Oh,
all he did was hit 24 of 27, and he hit 8 of 9 from 50 or more yards. So
that was in the Tennessee game, wasn't it?
Yeah, best damn kicker in the country's back, too.
Oh man, that touchy subject, man. Let's move on. Yeah, good kicker. I got to see him front row there in Neyland Stadium. It was not pretty, brother. I was ready for him to get fined for those short shorts.
You and Kirk, I guess. All right, let's go shout out our friend Steven Lassen for giving us these back a month ago or so, whenever it was, the anonymous coach comments in the Athlon Sports College Football Preview magazine. Just a quick recap of what they said about the Sooners, Shane. John Mateer has a ridiculously high ceiling. That offense has answers for everything. They don't do a ton, but everything they do complements the other thing. When he just executes and then makes splash plays here and there, they complement their elite defense very well. And then they continue it on here. I was impressed with how Brent Venables and Jim Nagy structured the team, and it feels like they finally hit on what the recipe is to be successful there. Defensively, it's so many multiples. Week to week, they won't do the same pre-snap look again, so whatever you prepare for, you're not going to get. Obviously, you want to create indecision with young quarterbacks or new quarterbacks in the system, and they do that at a really high level. So pretty interesting, Shane. All the, you know, some of these are negative for some teams. They're pretty damn complimentary of the Sooners. You know what?
Yeah, that's somebody that probably doesn't have them on the schedule. You know?
definitely not a Texas coach.
Yeah, or anything. Just glad we ain't got to face them this season. So,
all right. So, when it comes to biggest camp questions, Shane, I think they really need to find some depth at running back.
Yeah.
Need someone to emerge there behind the top two guys, of course. They need receivers to emerge. And then I don't know that you can have big questions on defense.
No.
But you're trying to identify depth. Guys, because God forbid players go down, you know, you need a nine-game SEC. Again, we're trying to be built a little different here, because just making the playoffs not good enough. We got to go far in the playoff.
Yeah.
How do you do that if you lose one guy here, one guy there? You know, these are the things that I think need to be answered in fall camp for the Sooners.
Oh, that's good. The running back, like the identity. What's the identity of this offense? It felt like at times last year we're just surviving. You know, we were scrapping and trying to get something. I feel like this is a team, and I know Venables has addressed this as to the podium quite a bit. They want to make this a balanced football team, and you got to do that with them big uglies up front and those running backs. And if they can't get that going again, they're going to struggle all season long on offense.
Yeah, and case in point, a couple of I couldn't really find any bad defensive statistics. It was pretty easy to find some bad offensive ones. How about this? I mean, this kind of blew my mind with all the talent they have.
Yeah.
101st in the country, Oklahoma was, in rushes of 10 or more yards. Mm. Like 10 yards is not that much. You know what I mean? Like, you should be able to
do 10 yards. You know?
101st in the country, 106th in the country in overall offensive plays of 30 or more yards. So, I mean, the splash plays were virtually non-existent. And then this one was pretty damning. Of course, maybe you don't need to get the red zone if you got a kicker that can kick a 60, 70 yard field goal, what have you. But they only had 35 trips to the red zone, Shane.
Yeah.
That was 114th in the country. 35 trips to the red zone. That was worse than the SEC. Remember how dog shit Kentucky was last year?
Yeah.
They made it to the red zone 36 times.
Oh.
How about Auburn, which was like, maybe they set offensive football backwards last year. They made the red zone 41 times. So these teams are making it more than you. That's got to get cleaned up.
No, I mean, it's those glaring stats that you're like, okay, this is why we didn't go further in the playoffs, right? You know, it's like, if we could have figured this out, then we could have took that next step. And I, again, trying to be a little bit optimistic, I feel like some of the decisions made in the offseason, some of the things you've already went over with me, I'm feeling a little bit better about that side of the football, man.
Mm-hmm. All right, so let's break down the schedule. Shane, how about this? Very interesting over under for the Oklahoma Sooners, 7.5. They're 12-1 to win the Southeastern Conference. They're 27-1 to win the national championship, Shane. Yeah. Here's the schedule. UTEP at home, at Michigan. Ooh. New Mexico at home, at Georgia. Then they get their first and only bye. Then Texas and Dallas, of course. Kentucky at home. At Mississippi State. South Carolina at home. At Florida. Ole Miss at home. Texas A&M at home. And then finishing the season at Mizzou.
Wow. So
7.5.
Ooh.
Dude. What do you think, Shane? What do you think of this schedule?
I feel like the Sooners can't screw around. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. I mean, look, from opening kickoff September 5th to October 10th, I mean, we have Michigan on the road, Georgia on the road, Texas, not even at home. You know, I get it. It's a rivalry. But I just feel like your season will be decided. Well, let's say your postseason will be decided by October. I just feel like that's what you got to get is capture that momentum early.
Yeah. So I got to ask Shane.
Yeah.
Are you ready to play a little win, loss, toss?
Yeah. That's what I was doing. I wonder who he's going to put toss.
Now, this is an interesting one. Let's see if you agree with me. So here's how I got the win, loss, or toss for them Oklahoma Sooners. Couple of wins here. I got, now this surprised me that it was even this low, but I got six games that should be wins. UTEP at home, New Mexico at home, Kentucky at home, at Mississippi State, South Carolina, at Missouri. Do you disagree with any of those should be wins?
No, I do not. And you got to remember, this is 7.5, man. You got six already penciled in there. This may be, we may be sleeping on these guys.
I think that's why it's 7.5 after I was doing this, you know? So, and believe it or not, I got five tosses at Michigan, which they are an underdog currently to go. I don't really know why, but they are an underdog at Michigan. I got Texas as a toss. At Florida is a toss. Ole Miss at home. A&M at home. Do you disagree with any of those tosses?
I'm being honest. I feel like I could switch Florida from a toss to a win. I feel like Sooner fans are looking that one as a victory. So that's the only one I would have problem with.
And I think that's fair, Shane. I think that's fair. But I don't know. We'll see. And then I just have one likely loss, and that's at Georgia. Would you disagree or agree with that one?
No, I do not disagree with that one. Tough place to win.
Maybe if that was a home game, I would switch that to a toss.
Yeah. No, I could get behind that.
And the same deal as Michigan and Florida. If those were in Norman, I'd switch them to wins.
Yeah.
But what do they say, Shane? What do they say? Who gets out of the what is it? The swamp alive? Only the Gators, you know.
Yeah.
Just ask your favorite team down south there. You know, I mean, you can beat A&M, but literally no one else can beat them.
Yeah.
And then you can't beat Florida. You know what I mean? Like
that's Lane Kiffin and Ole Miss.
Right. You know? I mean, that with a playoff spot on the damn line. So that's just kind of life in the Southeastern Conference. But we can debate that here, Shane, going week by week. Let's not waste the Sooners' time. They're going to whoop you tips ass. Come on, right?
Oh, yeah. And we love miners on this show, right? I feel like they help the world go round, but they
help the economy. I'm sure.
Yeah, I'm sure. Yeah. My grandfather was one, you know, so I do appreciate what they do, but unfortunately they suck at football. Give me a win here for Oklahoma.
Now week two is, again, this will be very interesting, Shane. Very interesting on the road. Like I said, they're underdogs.
Yeah.
I think by like three and a half or something. I didn't look up the spreads right before I hopped on here, but they are an underdog. I think Michigan massively upgraded at head coach. Obviously, Sean Moore. That guy was a damn joke.
But I'm sorry.
His ass is gone. Kyle Whittingham, who is I think he's an excellent coach, Shane. I just think that was a massive upgrade. I know they've got the quarterback everybody loved in recruiting, Bryce Underwood, but I've heard some not so great things, Shane. I don't know that he's fitting in well up there. He had an awful spring game, but they do have talent. This truly, I think, is a toss type game, Shane. But if you are trying to not just make the playoff, but win it, you can't be losing to sorry ass Michigan. Come on, get the hell out of here. That's a 2-0 for me.
Yeah, this is one. I mean, we were talking about last year when they came to Norman. I mean, how many people thought Michigan was going to win that game, right? Mm-hmm. I feel like this is a better Oklahoma team. And going up there, it's so pivotal. You're not just doing it for, you know, Sooner fans. You're not just doing it for the Southeastern Conference. You're doing it for America. You got to go up there and you got to win this game. So give me 2-0 Oklahoma right out of the gate. Momentum is at an all-time high. Portnoy is pissed that his Wolverines got beat by Sooners.
And the non-conference games are typically, unless it's like a rivalry or whatever.
Yeah.
But they're typically always early.
Mm-hmm.
I think that does favor Oklahoma because it is a new coaching staff, a new system. Like if this was week eight or nine, I think Michigan's going to be better by week 8 or 9 than they are week 2, if that makes sense, with the new coaching staff.
Yeah, I get that.
But we talked enough about those garbage teams. 3-0, come on, New Mexico, get the hell out of here. I'm not going to waste any time on you.
Oh, the old Lobo. Who's the head coach there? Do you know?
Who cares?
It doesn't matter. All right.
Bobby Petrino, I don't know.
Seems like we should know, but 3-0 here.
Now, again, week 4, mm-hmm. I've been hyping up for a long time, Shane.
Yeah.
At Georgia. These are my two teams to make the SEC championship. Could very well be the teams that are face off in the national championship if they can avoid each other in the bracket. You know what I mean? Like, I think this is the best game in the Southeastern Conference here. And I know there's other games to get excited about. Everybody's excited about LSU, Ole Miss, and Texas, LSU, and on and on. I mean, there's so many great games. But for me, if I had to put money on two juggernauts, I'm putting it on this game. And we have seen Oklahoma go on the road to Neyland Stadium. You were there. That was an electric environment. Some say the best environment they've ever seen. And these are Oklahoma fans saying it. I've never seen a football game like it. At Alabama, I don't think people remember, Shane. Alabama was the number one team in the SEC last year going into the SEC championship because they beat Georgia.
Yeah.
And they were undefeated in the conference. And Oklahoma went in there and beat Alabama's ass. So Oklahoma's capable of pulling off the impossible, Shane. Even when everybody's picking against them to lose on the road, I'm going to do it too. They're going to lose at Georgia. Again, I think Georgia's damn good this year, as is Oklahoma. I think that's asking a little too much.
And I do feel like you do this with teams. Like you do the win-loss toss. I feel like a Sooner fan going into this one is going in as a toss. Like, we can beat them, right? If our defense is playing out of their damn minds, if Arbuckle's got this offense finally in the right direction, John Mateer looks better, I could definitely see us going down there and getting a win in Athens. But realistically, that's a tough one, man. I mean, if you just look at all the games that Kirby Smart has lost in Athens, it would blow your mind how very few times it happens. And this one, I'm going to go in with potentially a loss. So give me Sooners' first loss here.
Mm-hmm. Now, again, I know these are all best-case scenario. They conceivably could win that game.
Yeah.
But basically, everyone we've done up to this point, every preview when we're doing Georgia, it's like, in the back of my mind, I'm like, how can they make it competitive? You know, but here, I really do think Oklahoma can win it. And I'll tell you what, Chad, I think picking against them,
yeah,
I think that just makes it more likely they will win it. So we're doing them a favor. You know what?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Actually, going into this, if I was at what is the odds that Oklahoma, I'd be at realistically probably 4.2, 42%, something like that.
4.2.
So. Yeah. So I got a 58 for them Georgia Dogs. So.
All right. So then they get the bye week.
Yeah.
2 weeks to rest up for Texas after, and that's good scheduling by the SEC because now Texas, they get time off too. So it's not an advantage or anything, but I just mean playing Georgia, you're going to get beaten up. You're going to go on the road. Hell, you may even beat Georgia, but you ain't going to not get beaten up by them. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. You're going to have to earn it up there is basically the point. So having 2 weeks to prepare, I don't know that you can get literally any tougher than Georgia and Texas back-to-back, neither one at home. So, you know, you're going to need all the rest you can take going into this one. And let's be honest, Shane, Texas is, they've more than had your number.
Yeah.
You can't even score on them. I don't know. I just, until I see it, I almost feel like Texas kind of owns them, you know? Yeah. Sarkisian and his cool haircut and Arch Manning and all the hype. Cam, you know, they, you know, Shane, do you know they added Cam Coleman? I mean, can you give a quarterback and a receiver a Heisman? Because I think it might happen this year with Arch and Cam Coleman, and they got Will Muschamp, Shane. I mean, my God.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, you see him when he punched that dry erase board?
I think there's
Longhorn fans jerking off to that right now. Well, they better, Shane, because they're going to get their ass whooped on October 10th by the Oklahoma Sooners. And then they're going to be mad. They're going to be like, fire Muschamp. Sark got to go.
This one, I go back and forth here, and I feel like the Sooners defense can maybe not shut Texas down, but definitely make it a ball game. But can Oklahoma get enough offense against Texas's defense? And I feel like this one is going to come down to the wire, and optimistically, I still feel like Texas has a few too many weapons here. Has your number right now. So I got the second loss happening right here, two in a row.
Even sooner, yeah. Shane. Me
and Steven like this.
it's all, but Texas is in their head.
Yeah.
You know, so I mean, you could play them even and lose.
Yeah.
So you got to take it from them. And you've got to beat them. You got to beat them down, I think. Like, let's say it's a one-score game in the fourth quarter, entering the fourth quarter. I think they get tight and lose it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, there's just a couple of these teams, you know. I feel like Texas and Texas A&M, same boat. I do feel like A&M probably could have beat them, should have beat them last year and didn't, you know, because it's just something in their brain right now triggered. So this may all change, right? I'm wrong most of the time. So I would imagine that Sooner fans should be pretty pumped up that I'm picking Texas here.
He's got too much Texas in him. Mike says, Shane ain't using we in us.
Oh.
Too much Texas in him, unfortunately. Oh. All right, but hey, next week, big bounce back. If it goes away, you're saying it dropped two games?
Yeah.
You got to make sure, you know, sometimes these losses – One can get you twice, essentially. Yep. You know what I mean? So Kentucky, thankfully it's at home. I think Kentucky upgraded his head coach. That's about the nicest thing I can say. I still think they're gonna be pretty bad. So I think you should win this game and win it easily.
This is when we sit there in that locker room and say, you know what? We control our destiny. Yeah, we got two losses, but if we win out, we're going to the college football playoffs, and that starts with a big win against them Kentucky Wildcats. So give me a win here.
Yeah, I think so. All right, so week 8 at Mississippi State, a little bit of a trap game. Jeff Lebby, job on the line, perhaps. You know, he's still searching for that signature win, unless you count Arizona State, which, why would you? Why would you? You know, but again, his offense is – even Oklahoma, let's say they're the best defense in the country, which is very believable. I still think Mississippi State will have some success against. Jeff Lebby is just, he's that good, I think, as an offensive, not as a head coach, as offensive coordinator. And Kamario Taylor, you know, he can have a field day. This is one where you got to put them down early. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, you're in a fist fight. Just ask Texas, ask Tennessee, ask many others that have played in Starkville there. But I say all that to say we're going to win by at least 10 points. Come on.
Yeah, I do not think that this is a blowout. And I feel like that's just being nice, right? I feel Venables at the end of this game's Lebby, call me, you know. So when he gets fired, we'll get this DoorDash.
Come on home.
We'll get this DoorDasher out of here.
All right, tricky game. After that, week 9, South Carolina comes to town. And, I mean, again, it kind of boils down to what does Carolina look like?
Yeah.
Remember, they came into our house 2 years ago and just pistol whipped our ass. Remember, that was a game. It was over in like 6 plays because they had so many turnovers. Now, that was probably a unicorn of a Carolina team. But if they can get Sellers going and they get that offense going, they have good players and good coaching on defense. I mean, Carolina, we did the preview of them. A lot of people gave me hell for saying they could win 9 games. I truly believe that, Shane, if they get that offense corrected. So I say all that to say I think it's going to be one of the more difficult games on the schedule that Sooner fans are sitting here saying that's an easy win. It's not easy, but it will be this Saturday. Come on, we're Halloween. We're going to send Beamer home with a damn pumpkin. Hey, maybe we ask Lebby, you want to be our next offensive coordinator? We can ask Beamer, do you like to be our next special teams coach? Because it looks like you're going to be available, buddy.
Brother, it's going to be, again, I don't think you could take your foot off the gas in any of these conference games. South Carolina, you've got two coaches back-to-back fighting for their lives right now. The team's fighting for their lives. And who knows, like you said, South Carolina's situation. I mean, we talked a real scenario here where if they have momentum at their back, they could be a top 25 team, a top 15 team by the time we have this matchup. Going to be a great, great football game, but I do like them Sooners to come out ahead, of course.
Oh,
yeah. Our Sooners. My Sooners.
So now this is tricky, Shane. This is tricky. Week 10 at Florida. What do the Gators look like? John Sumrall. Now, this is 2 off seasons are up and hyping up his damn program. Eventually, they're going to be good, Shane, if I say it every year. You know, it hasn't been right in about 6 years, but eventually, you know, 1 out of 7, that's a Gators luck here. So, but I really, everybody knows, I would think, that listens to this show, a big fan of John Sumrall. Mm-hmm. I like the talent that he's got to work with. And I could be mistaken. I don't think Oklahoma's ever played in the Swamp, Shane. Hmm. You know what that tells me?
What?
They've never won down there. And I don't think they're doing it come November 7th, Shane, on Upset City. I'm gonna cheat and pull a Cousin Shane here.
Yeah.
I'm basically looking at the 3 games there. Florida, Ole Miss, A&M.
Yeah.
I think you're going to lose one of them. I think you will.
Yeah.
But I don't know which one. But only one of them's on the road. I don't know. This is just life in the SEC, Shane. You just can't beat the hell out of everybody, can you?
Well, in November you can, because give me a win for Oklahoma.
Okay, that's fair enough. Because
I'm kind of torn on the Florida Gators myself, which we're not doing a Gator preview, but you know, there's a scenario where I won't say the wheels have fell off, but the season, you know, everybody loves John Sumrall right now. You know, you've even said it. There's also that realistic opportunity that they're sitting there at 4 losses already, and they're like, oh shit, did we sign up for another one? Another coach. So, I feel like this is one that you could get them. Now, if you played them early, I think it could be a better game, but give me Sooners here.
Okay. How about Ole Miss? Coming back to Oxford. Last year, man, they beat us.
Yep.
beat us. That was a tough one. That was a back and forth game. It could have went either way. Came down to the fourth quarter. And that's kind of when Ole Miss was like, okay, I think they're going to make the playoff. And the Sooners look dead in the water, Shane. Trinidad, oh, God, is he good.
Uh-huh.
Kiwan, he had himself a day, if I recall. But he can't do it twice, Shane. Come on! I think the Sooners are whipping. Lane Kiffin ain't here to save you no more, Rebels. So I think Oklahoma, again, I think this will be a very, very good game. I think they get it done at home.
Yeah, this is, again, home field advantage here. This is, there's no reason they can't win this game, but, I mean, we're talking some quarterbacks, man, and they faced them. They have faced probably some of the best, if not the best, quarterbacks in this conference. And depending on, you know, Ole Miss situation, they may be fighting for a playoff spot. This may be the game that puts them out. So I do feel like there'll be a lot on the line here. But I'm with you. I like the fact it's in Norman. I want the home field to get behind this one. So give me a win for those Sooners.
All right. And then the next one, another huge, Shane, these games back to back. Oh, Lord.
A&M
comes to town.
Name you, Sankey.
Well, at least they're at home, right?
Yeah. So
that's an advantage. Didn't play A&M last year. Will A&M be as good? I have questions about that. I think these two, A&M, Oklahoma, probably the winner of this game, Shane, is going to the playoff. I think the loser, I think they're not going to go to the playoff. Or they're going to have to sweat it out, you know what I mean, and be one of these 9-3s, and hopefully the committee has a soul this year. But I don't know. You just never know, Shane. You never know. I'm a big believer in Mike Elko. I like Marcel Reed. I think he's underrated. We covered A&M. They got a ton of weapons to work with. They might just do it again, Shane, and go back to the college football playoff, win 11 games. Sorry, Sooners. You're whipping the Aggies' ass. Come on. But again, I think it could be like an overtime type game. I don't think either side can win easily in this one.
No, definitely not. But I do like, you talk about just an absolute dogfight. That secondary of Oklahoma against these wide receivers, Texas A&M, that we just previewed. If you haven't checked it out, check it out after the show. It's got me convinced that this could be kind of like Rocky and that Russian guy. You know what I'm saying? And I don't know which one you're rooting for.
Drago.
Yeah. No Drago lovers on this one. So give me Rocky getting a big one. I feel like this one is going to cement the college football playoffs for them. So, yeah, big win here for them Sooners.
All right, then the final game, Shane, Mizzou on the road. Oh, boy, do they hate your guts. And I like that this is kind of rivalry now, I guess it's not to us Sooners. But, you know, rivalry weekend is what I'm talking about here. But that kind of amps it up. I think Missouri – they very well could be still alive for the playoff at this point in time. If not, the next best thing would be knocking the Sooners out of the playoff, if you ask me. I mean, I think they'd take that. They'd probably take that over a playoff berth of their own, Shane. So this ain't going to be easy. And hopefully Ahmad Hardy is 100% and he's back. And hell, even if he misses the start, Shane, he may just suit up for his damn game to become a Mizzou legend. You know what I mean? And to try to prove last year was the outlier that he can beat the Oklahoma Sooners, Shane. And I think he's going to be proven wrong again. Come on, Sooners are going to win 10-2, best case scenario. That's what I got for the Sooners.
Yeah, I'm right there with you. I mean, we got to point out last time that these guys came over to Columbia, I was there and I got to see the miracle for Mizzou and the absolute heartbreak for them Sooners. And I don't know. I feel like this is two different teams, and I like the strength to prevail. So even though it's on the road, give me Oklahoma 10-2. Hello, college football playoffs. We're back, baby.
Which of those let's move Georgia off the table.
Yeah.
toughest road game for Oklahoma. True road game. So we're taking Texas off the table too.
Michigan. Yeah. Just because it's so early in the season. And it's a game that, you know, you sit there and you say, it's okay if we lose or it's okay if we win. You know, we did this with Texas, right? Remember when Texas went to Ohio State? And guess who didn't make a playoff? So there's a lot riding on that game and the narrative, because that's what's going to happen, Mike. It's games like this that we have the conversation to end the season, why 9-3 SEC teams should be in there or shouldn't be in there. Because I could make an argument this should be one of them, right? Oklahoma's got a tough enough schedule that if they lose three games, they should get in. But I don't know. It just depends on who you lose and how bad you lose. So I feel like that Michigan one's very, very important.
And what would you say the three most important games, Shane, for the Oklahoma Sooners? I went with Texas.
Mm-hmm.
It's always got to be number one.
Yeah.
At Michigan.
Yep.
I just think if you lose that, you could bounce back. It's a long season, but just put you so far behind the eight ball, so to speak. And then I didn't really know. There's so many options you could go for number three, but I said it, Shane, and I'm going to stand by it. I think A&M, Oklahoma, I think the winner's going to the playoff.
Yeah.
The loser may not. So that's kind of why I put that number three.
That's a good one. Yeah, I'm kind of right there with you. That little murder's row, you even had Florida winning that one. I wouldn't mind them being there.
Yeah.
You know, going on the road, this is a team that a lot of times people have overlooked. Ask Texas, ask Ole Miss. I mean, we've talked about it at nauseum. So it could be the same scenario here where Oklahoma's saying, hey, if we win out, but then they're not completely dialed in Gainesville and they make you pay. So I wouldn't be mad at either one of those that you put in.
Okay. Oh, and then I should have been doing this all along. I'm gonna tweak the final question, Shane. I'm gonna ask you two things. Scale of 1 to 10.
Yes.
Same thing, but scale of 1 to 10 first. That Oklahoma can go over 7.5.
Oh.
Where would you go? 1 being low, 10 being high. Scale of 1 to 10. How confident are you that Oklahoma goes over 7.5 wins?
8.9.
Oh.
Yeah. Pretty confident.
Okay. So I'm trying to bring some optimism because you're always so negative Nancy on these. Scale of 1 to 10.
Yeah.
We're taking off our optimistic, again, and we're just trying to be honest here. Scale of 1 to 10, how likely Oklahoma, with this dominant defense and all these pieces we've added on offense, Shane, returns to the college football playoff, scale of 1 to 10?
3.3. A little higher.
How many teams you got going to the playoff? Like two? Georgia and Texas?
I'm convinced that you have to go 10-2 at this point.
Okay.
And I feel like Oklahoma's going to have a tough run ahead of them. They're going to be in the mix, but for them to make
it. I think last year was tougher when they did it.
Well, I mean, there's so much.
Well, maybe not because it was eight games.
SEC games, Michigan on the road. I don't know, man. This is pretty rough.
All right. Then we had a lot of Oklahoma hate here, Shane. I couldn't.
What?
I didn't want to. Yeah. Butter Sasha, that was not hate. I appreciate you, Butter. About dang time you cover a good team. ACV, broke you is trash. Say it out loud. 613 and Boomer sucks. Hook 'em. JP, appreciate you, buddy. Freshman. Running back Jonathan Hinton, 6'1", 250 pounds. That's like Shane, 6'1", 250. Runs a 440. Runs through people. That's a good backup. Shout out Balls Rio, Orange Dancy. appreciate you, Matthew. 12-0, baby. Boomer. JP with another one. If Oklahoma and Georgia are both undefeated, do you guys want to hit up at Athens with me? God, that's going to be a zoo. I'm going to have to pass on that one. Jared, appreciate you, buddy. Simply Texas, Can't wait for Texas to prove SEC Mike wrong. And Brodo, what a wonderful 10 months it's been. OU and Texas have only played twice since being in the SEC. And are they even rivals? Fair question. Fair question.
Oh, man.
And then Liquid, I believe I took a screenshot. He gifted a membership, Shane, to, bear with me here, it's tiny, tiny, to Chicken Tendy.
Oh, nice.
Chicken Tendy. Welcome to the family.
All right, buddy, anything else before we hop off here?
Oh, no, no, it's great. It's great catching up, Mike. Just a reminder, we're going to be at the, what's that place called? Comic-Con, if you've not heard, on, what is the dates? You got the dates.
July 11th.
Yeah, July 11th. So I should
we're
know
in
that.
June 24th.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think it's called Fanboy in Knoxville.
Fanboy. So, yeah, looking forward to that. Hopefully we can bump into some cousins while we're there. We're debating on whether we should go in costume or not. But I look forward to seeing anybody that can make it there. But, no, that's all I got, Mike. Don't forget, Fat Channel. Give that a thumbs up, too, on your way out. Give this one a thumbs up. Thank you for those new subscribers, and look forward to doing the what's that other preview we're doing tomorrow? What is
Vanderbilt?
The TV, yeah. The
All right, that's gonna do it for this one. We'll catch you on the next one.
All right, see you guys. Boomer.
Hey, buddy, this beer's for you, Mike, and cousin Shane. That SEC podcast loves the pirate, and the pirate loves that SEC podcast. Hail State.